Welcome to Base by Base, the papercast that brings genomics to you wherever you are. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to follow and rate us in your podcast app.
Glad to be here.
Imagine for a second that you are holding the genetic instruction manuals for modern humans and our closest relative, the great apes.
Right, like these massive, heavy stacks of sequenced data.
Exactly, and you would naturally expect the high-level packaging of all that data to be nearly identical, you know?
Yeah, you really would.
But there's this glaring structural difference. The great apes, chimpanzees, gorillas, orangutans, their genomes are packaged into 48 chromosomes, while humans only have 46.
And you don't just lose two whole chromosomes without a trace.
No, they didn't just vanish. Two ancestral ape chromosomes actually crashed together end-to-end to form human chromosome 2.
A literal genetic merger.
Right. So the central question for today is, what really happens when two chromosomes collide? And how could pinning down the exact timeline of this genetic merger completely rewrite our understanding of when we became uniquely human?
Well, before we jump into the timeline, today we celebrate the work of Barbara Paksiewicz, Krzysztof Gogolewski, Anna Gambin from the Institute of Informatics at Warsaw University, and Paweł Stankiewicz from Baylor College of Medicine, who have advanced our understanding of human chromosome evolution and speciation chronology.
Yes, absolutely. It's a fantastic paper.
It really is.
Okay, let's unpack this. I want to talk about the physical evidence left behind by this ancient fusion.
Right, the actual crash site.
Yeah, on human chromosome 2, specifically the 2q13q14.1 fusion site, because we have these clear genomic signatures, like inverted telomeric repeats.
Which is wild, because telomeres are the caps at the ends of chromosomes. Finding them inverted in the middle of a chromosome is a dead giveaway.
Exactly. It's like finding a bumper in the middle of a car chassis. And there's also a block of degenerate satellite sequences.
Essentially the dead leftover centromere. Since the fused chromosome initially had two centromeres, one of them had to be deactivated so the cell wouldn't tear it apart during division.
Right. So it's basically a genetic crime scene. We have the broken telomeres acting as the physical evidence. But here's the thing. We've known about this chromosome reduction for nearly four decades.
Yeah, since the 1980s.
So if we've had the physical evidence of this fusion for four decades, why has the date been so incredibly hard to pin down?
Well, that is where the controversy usually sits. Previous estimates for when this happened have varied wildly. I mean, we're talking anywhere from up to 4.5 million years ago based on retroposon elements.
Which is a huge number.
Right, all the way down to 0.74 million years ago.
And we also know that our extinct relatives like Denisovans and Neanderthals, they actually share this exact fusion.
Exactly. So to date the fusion, you can't just look directly at the crash site itself. It's far too chaotic.
Too much structural damage.
Yeah. You have to look at the specific types of mutational footprints that are leading away from the site.
Okay, mutational footprints. Tell me about those.
It revolves around a concept called biased gene conversions, or BGCs.
Right, which happen during DNA repair.
Yes. When a cell repairs mismatched DNA strands during recombination, it exhibits a bias. It actually prefers strong nucleotide pairs, like G and C, over weak pairs, like A and T.
Because G and C pairs have three hydrogen bonds instead of two, so they're structurally stronger.
Precisely. So the cell constantly converts these weak pairs to strong pairs, and these specific weak to strong substitutions cluster heavily near the ends of chromosomes.
Near the telomeres.
Exactly.
And since the fusion site is literally two telomeres smashed together, it's packed with these clusters.
Exactly. So the researchers measured this bias using a statistic called UBCS, which stands for Unexpected Bias Clustered Substitutions.
But didn't older methods try to measure these clusters too?
They did, but they ran into a major math problem. Older models couldn't properly handle complex intersecting clusters of these mutations. They would double count or miss overlapping segments.
Ah, so the old methodology is like trying to count overlapping footprints in the mud by just guessing.
That is exactly it. You're just approximating the damage.
Whereas this new algorithm meticulously isolates and counts every single distinct footprint.
Right. The real innovation here was developing an enhanced algorithm. They combined the inclusion-exclusion principle with dynamic programming.
Dynamic programming, right.
Yeah, which allowed them to break the complex sequence into manageable subproblems, effectively calculating the exact UBCS values across the entire genome without the statistical noise.
Wow. So applying this newly corrected mathematical lens to human and primate genomes, how does that change our timeline?
Well, comparing the human and chimpanzee genomes using this new model, we finally have a precise date for the chromosome 2 fusion. It happened approximately 0.9 million years ago.
900,000 years ago.
Yes, with a 95% confidence interval of 0.4 to 1.5 million years ago.
That is so much more recent than the 4.5 million year estimates. But wait, didn't they also test this against a bonobo genome?
They did, and that actually yielded a younger estimate of about 0.67 million years ago.
Wait, really? Does that mean the algorithm is flawed?
No, not at all. This anomaly is likely due to missing sequence gaps in the bonobo genome assembly.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, the data revealed a sharp mutational difference on the distal side of the fusion site in bonobos. Basically, missing data leads to an artificially younger date.
That makes total sense.
Yeah.
Better data in, better dates out.
Exactly. But what's fascinating here is that the UBCS statistic isn't just a tool for dating this single fusion event.
What do you mean?
The researchers discovered that the enrichment of these biased mutations acts as a universal evolutionary clock.
A universal clock?
Yes. Yep. They used it to successfully reconstruct the evolutionary distances and speciation dates for all great apes from the human lineage.
Here's where it gets really interesting. What started as an investigation into one single chromosome accidentally yielded a completely new tape measure for primate evolution.
It's incredible, right? So using this clock, they mapped out the splits. Chimpanzees diverged roughly 4.7 to 6.5 million years ago. Bonobos at about 4.3 to 5.8 million years ago. Gorillas at roughly 6.6 and 9.8 million years ago. Orangutans around 12.5 to 18.4 million years ago. And gibbons way back at 20.6 to 29.6 million years ago.
That is absolutely staggering. They tracked up to 30 million years of evolutionary history just by measuring DNA repair bias.
Yeah, the math is incredibly powerful.
So bringing it back to human chromosome 2, what does this new timeline mean for the mechanics of the fusion itself? And where does the science go next?
Well, the 0.9 million year timeline, combined with the missing data points we see, strongly suggests the fusion was a really violent head-to-head collision.
Violent in what way?
In that a large chunk of telomeric and subtelomeric material was simply lost during the event. It was completely obliterated.
And that material actually contained functional genes.
Right? Exactly. It wasn't just junk DNA that got deleted.
Wow. It's like taking two separate pages of a book, cutting off the margins entirely so you lose some of the text, and then gluing them together to make one giant page.
That is a perfect way to visualize it. You're permanently losing biological information, which creates a reproductive barrier.
But there have to be limitations to this study, right? What are the boundaries of this new clock?
Sure, there are always limitations. For instance, the speciation estimates for the older lineages, like the gibbon and orangutan, they're just less robust.
Because the evolutionary distance is so vast.
Right. Tens of millions of years introduces a lot of background noise. And as we mentioned, the bonobo genome needs better assembly to tighten up those specific dates.
So what are the suggested next steps for the researchers?
The obvious next step is to apply this exact algorithm to the genomes of Denisovans and Neanderthals.
Oh, that will be fascinating.
Yeah, and they also suggest incorporating multi-layer Bayesian or hidden Markov models.
To help filter out the noise.
Exactly. Those advanced models will provide even greater precision when dealing with ancient, degraded DNA.
So what does this all mean? If you had to summarize the core insight for us.
I'd say it comes down to this. By fixing the math used to track weak-to-strong genetic substitutions, researchers successfully pinned down the human chromosome 2 fusion to roughly 0.9 million years ago.
Right.
And in doing so, they provided biology with a completely novel computational alternative for estimating speciation chronology across the entire great ape family.
That's an incredible breakthrough. Which leaves us with a final thought. What does this mean for our understanding of extinct human relatives if we can now track the exact genetic ripples of how we became uniquely human? This episode was based on an open access article under the CC BY 4.0 license. You can find a direct link to the paper and the license in our episode description. If you enjoyed this, follow or subscribe in your podcast app and leave a 5-star rating. If you'd like to support our work, use the donation link in the description. Now stay with us for an original track created especially for this episode and inspired by the article you just heard about. Thanks for listening and join us next time as we explore more science, base by base.
Held on tight. quiet seam inside our cells, a fossil in the light. We trace it through the letter shifts, the footprints in the code, where tiny changes cluster close, then fade as ages road. Count the bias near the edges where the telomeres used to be. Weak to strong, a tilted coin, repeating history. Then watch it soften, drift and thin, as time unspools the line. A signal falling into calm, a clock we can define. We were stitched in the subtle Amir light. A fusion written long ago, still burning in our sight. Measure the rise, measure the fall, let the pattern make it clear. A million years, give or take, our origin is near. An exacting kind of counting, no shortcuts left to guess. Inclusion, exclusion, truth pulled out from the mass. Dynamic steps across the map, bootstrapped to hold the frame. Comparing kin, the distances sing back the timing's name. Some pages have missing lines, some gaps where silence grows. Assemblies blur the boundary where the cleanest signal flows. But as the brighter genals come, we'll speak again, and other branches on the tree will learn to date there when. We were stitched in the subtle Amir light. A fusion written long ago, still burning in our sight. From clustered sparks, a chromosome, into echoes disappearing. Around 900,000 years, the clock keeps reappearing.